So there's the new theme tune. He's been working on it night and day for how many days? Just and it's Jussie P, my adventurous co-host. Jussie P, how long have you been working on the brilliant new theme tune?
Hello. My possessions were thrown at me recently. In, you got to get these out of here. Not that, it was a few months ago, and there was a bundle of CDs of old things that I did in the early 2000s, that being one of them. And the Sans lyrics, obviously. Lyrics, if you can call it. But it was like I had a Roland 808, you know, drum machine thing. I don't know what happened to it. And I did that on it, and I had put it, burnt it onto a CD, just for a goof. And then I found it and I thought, oh, that's weird enough to be a weird Kraftwerk type avant-garde thing.
I thought Kraftwerk, I did.
Yeah, well, the obvious, that's the obvious one. But yeah, that's, so I thought, I'd, and, but to, so it took probably, well, it took 21 years if you, from the time I started record it to the finishing.
No but one would expect anything different.
Yeah, but I, quicker than the grouting, but I did the lyrics. I did the vocals.
How long did they take?
As long as it, as long as the jingle is. I literally import. Actually, getting the thing imported into GarageBand was difficult because nothing's got a fucking CD drive anymore.
No, very difficult.
I had to use my partner's old tower and rip it onto that, then put it on the USB, then plug the USB into my MacBook Air. And then I plugged my headphones into it, and like these ones I'm talking into now, and just said pranks and fur. And that sounds looped, but as I actually did the whole thing live.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds like
it sounds looped.
It's because it's identical, but it's literally just I just did it one.
Do you remember
take.
The last one you sang in a cupboard to get the acoustics right?
Yeah, it's like a lot of Robert Johnson, mate.
Yeah.
So that's the theme tune, and I think it's just annoying enough. I don't know. It's short enough and annoying enough to be a thing.
I mean, the last one you did was a genuine work of art.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know the How Can It Be Just Two Boats Talking? Yeah. I mean, that's genuinely a good song, I think.
Well, I think that everyone hated it. The feedback I got was bad.
No, it wasn't, was it?
Yeah.
Who from?
Someone on their Discord.
No. What did they say?
They said it was painful or... something like that.
Well, they can eat shit. I don't care what they think.
They can eat shit, the quagrophobic. What's that called?
I don't know. What does that mean?
To eat shit. It's called
quagophobia.
No, it's not phobe, because that means scared of, isn't it? I don't know.
Quagophile.
There's a word for eating shit, basically. Yeah, they can be one of them. But so this one's 45 seconds or something like that. And mainly, I just think it's that's it.
It's probably still quite long, isn't it? 45 seconds. Now you say it like that.
For a theme tune? I don't know. Do you remember Call of Duty? What was that? There was a Vietnam program, and they used the whole of Paint It Black as the theme tune. It went on forever. Was it called Call of Duty or was it?
Hold on, I'm thinking. They made a film of it as well, didn't they? It was on Channel 4 late at night.
It was the entire song of Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones was the
what
opening
was that
credits.
Called?
It's set in Vietnam, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I want to say Call of Duty, but
yeah,
it can't have
been. Like that. Well, no, it can't have been that. But it was something like that. And I remember every time it came on, I was like, I love that song, but this is fucking too long.
I remember my brother watching it. It was bleak.
Mm.
What was it called? Can you find out?
It's not Band of Brothers. That was World War II.
No, yeah, I know what you mean. It was on Channel 4 late at night.
It was a bit more hip.
It was dark.
Yeah, it was about Vietnam, mate. What did you expect?
Light-hearted. Where were all the light-hearted Vietnam ones?
Well, there were. Good Morning Vietnam. There you go. Straight away, in. Answered
next. I don't
next.
Even know if that... Is that light-hearted? I'm not even sure it was.
It's not really now he killed himself, is it?
No, it's all...
Did you ever get in?
No, I didn't, actually.
Not funny at all. And he would always do these one-dimensional, over-the-top... all the voices, and it was just like crap.
But see, I've got a thing with those... what's the expression, like the force of nature people.
Yeah. That is like, it. The force, they're just sort of, yeah, it's just shit over the top.
I can't do it. I couldn't do it.
Why would you want to?
No. But what I'm saying is, you know, when they, like, if you're a force of nature comedian, you will almost always do well. I mean, you can stink out a room, yeah, sure. But if you're a force of nature comedian, you can push through it and you can, it's just this chaos that ensues in the audience. And then everyone leaves feeling exhausted and they go, well, that was brilliant. Do you know what I mean?
If you've ever been on a chat show, talk show, and you start looking behind the scenes and moving the plants around and fuck off.
But this is the thing. Is it not those people?
Are you one of those people?
Isn't it those people that are constantly rebooked? Like Lee Evans, for example. You know, if he just went on, sat down and did an interview on Jonathan Ross, it would be rubbish, wouldn't it? Oh, no, it wouldn't be rubbish. I'd quite like to hear it. But he can't do that. He has to go on and sit on the desk and
walk like a monkey. Hey, what about Bobcat? Was it Bobcat Goldthwait? Yeah, Goldthwait. Fire to something.
Yeah.
And got banned forever.
But did he? Or is that really what they wanted?
Yeah, is that what they... I know. I don't know. They must have known he was going to do it.
But because I remember seeing Lee Evans on something like Jonathan Ross once, and he laid down in a tray of paint. It was like, oh, there's paint. Oh, let's get the paint. Laid it and then painted his back. And then like, and it's like, well, he hasn't just done that. That's.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then I would never want to be that comedian. Like, I've done.
No, you're a clown. You're not a comedian. You're a clown.
I've done gigs with like Phil Kay, who will do that. He'll climb through the audience. He'll, you know.
It's just, I find it boring. They think it's really, I'm not slagging anyone in particular, but those sort of acts are like, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I'll do anything. And I just think, it's boring. That's actually boring to me.
Well,
that's
it puts in this fear into the room. I don't want to be there when it's happening very much.
I want to talk about it again. I think we'll talk about it before. The comedian, have I never seen pictures of him with the gigantic prosthetic penis?
Yeah. Well, there's no difference.
What
is that?
Is there
any difference, really? But then you say that. Then look at someone like Jim Carrey. Like,
yeah, again, never got him. I never found him funny. But even in his films.
I watched him on Norm's chat show.
Yeah, and he started pulling all the letters off the desk.
Yeah.
See, I just find that boring.
And I don't think boring's the word for me. I don't know. Like, I do have this thing in me that makes me wish I had the energy to say, I don't find it funny, I don't like it, it makes me feel awkward. But a bit of me is like, I wish I had that in my arsenal. But I think about when I did those old age pensioners gigs, you know, for the old hotel. Yeah. And I think if I had a bit more of that about me, I'd have probably done all right there.
Well, I walked into the crowd and pulled someone's pacemaker out of their chest or something.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But then I have not got
shall we revisit my experience?
Yeah.
Saw an old woman, Zimmer frame or mobility scooter.
Was this at one?
Yeah, this was the one I did. Yeah, I thought I can't talk to her.
You literally almost got trapped on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah,
and you got a phone call before you'd left the ferry saying we don't ever want you to come back.
It wasn't quite like right. So anyway, and I thought, fuck, she's really old and disabled. Can't talk to her. That might be a bit of a minefield. I'll speak to her old man. And I went, all right, mate, what's your name? And he went, Durr. He had one of them things in his throat.
Yeah.
He put his hand over a hole in his throat and went, Durr. And I just went, oh, fuck. Because I was like three jokes in. I was like three jokes into a 40 minutes.
No swearing allowed. Just
a I think I did. But I was four jokes into a 40-minute set that I knew wasn't going to work. So I thought, right, crowd work time. Speak to Mr. Tracheotomy.
Crowd work time. That's like, oh, my God.
You know, we're like 35 seconds in, shorter than the theme tune. Right, time to talk to the crowd. Do they hate me?
I remember going into the audience and every answer just being no.
Tired.
They told me, I said to them beforehand, this is so on them. I said to them, you don't want me. Like, I am not the act that you want at this. Like, to the people booking it, I was like, you want an entertainer. There was, when I watched videos, they had blokes doing other people's old
finishing
jokes
with a song.
Yeah, they had spangly suits on and some of them breathed fire. Like, that is who they wanted. And they went, no, 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 we're trying to appeal to a younger audience. But they hadn't told the audience. So the
imagine
audience
gonna finishing on a song, Ash.
Yeah, but you said you were going to consider doing it because the money was so good.
Yeah.
No, you said, I'm going to write a song and finish it. You said, I'm going to do songs. You were actually, the money, listener, was very, very good.
So oh, yeah.
You were prepared to go, fuck it, I'm
no,
just going
to
sit.
I toyed with the idea. I didn't do it. If I was prepared, I would have done it. I said to you, you're making this worse than it is. I said to you, look, this and cruises, you get like 1500 quid for 20 minutes. I said, I can play the guitar, kind of. I should just, part of me thinking, why don't I just have two acts and just write a shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you name a song, I can make a comedy song about it. It's so easy. I'll do it now. Name a song.
Oh my good God. Yesterday by the Beatles.
All right. So I go, hang on. Right, that's not a very easy one. Maybe it's not that easy. We need to think of a song. What does yesterday sound like?
Yesterday, all my choices.
I can't believe you haven't heard it. What does the song sound? I mean, what does it rhyme with?
Pesky day.
Pesky gays.
Pesky gays.
That would have done. Pesky gays.
That would have done.
Drilling glory holes. Everyone, you know, something like that.
You know, that would have done well there, to be fair. Pesky if you were days, a little bit, if you'd have been a little bit homophobic.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there was a guy on who is a well-known circuit act who they said to me, oh, we had this guy on last night and he's a black guy and he just did a load of, like, racist jokes and they absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you know, when, and then there's that bit where someone goes, I've heard this recently, where someone goes, I saw so-and-so the other week, and there'll be a black act, and they'll go, I like the way he kind of played the race card, but took the piss out of himself, I like that.
That means you like racist jokes.
It's just, oh God. It's just so weird, again, the discrepancy between what I see on social media and what I experience in the real world is literally two different dimensions.
Yeah.
You was telling me before we recorded that a friend of yours was working with someone who just come out with something overtly completely racist.
Yep.
And it's like, you just don't think that happens when on Twitter someone's getting cancelled for slightly mispronouncing a pronoun.
Yeah.
But there are people out there that just
are actual racist.
Yeah, nothing seems to happen to them.
No. Well, that's the thing. I think the more, like you say, overt you are about it, the less likely you are to suffer any consequences you say and do. Because people go, well, yeah, we know he means that. It's much worse to have a slight wrong opinion so that you can be destroyed than, you know, otherwise people like, you know, Lawrence Fox and all those people, they'd just be destroyed. Like, if I said something Lawrence Foxy, I'd be crushed. But he can just say it because he goes, that everyone.
Yeah, but it's like you'd be crushed because you've got to. Like, I think for that's why I've said this before. In that social media and all that, if someone really isn't, they're not racist, right? They're not in their heart, but they sort of say the wrong thing and everyone comes down on them. It's like they crush themselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But then
if they go, yeah, don't give a fuck, mate, then that's the end of it.
Some people have to double down.
Yeah, you've got to be in on it. You've got to believe it. Do you know what I mean? Ironically, the only people that the Twitter mob can bring down are ultimately good people that have misspoken,
because,
I think.
Because they go, oh no, I've made a mistake.
Yeah, and they sort of like, yeah, that is it. But if you're just like you know, unapologetic and blasé, and that's it. It's just water for ducks back.
They've lost.
Yeah, but I don't know. But it's just.
But then there's this thing as well where acts, and the public don't see this at all, but there are acts out there on both sides of the political spectrum who are who don't necessarily believe those things, they've seen a way of winkling into a nook to make money.
I don't think many people believe what they know.
Well, then that's it. There's comedians who we know that are going on GB News, like, you know, that new news channel that everyone's slagging off. And so they're doubling down on the way they talk, the right wing views, all of those things, really doubling down on it. I'm like, I know you don't think that, but I know.
Basically, you can't call yourself a right wing comedian if your act is as much of a parody as Alan Bastard, which is all it is.
Yeah.
It's basically like, I'm going to say these right wing things ironically. Wouldn't it be funny if I actually thought this? That does not make you a right wing comedian.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think you've hit the nail on the head again. Again. I genuinely do. That's a really big part of it, is that there are so many of these people, but they're getting booked and making a lot of money now, going into this alleyway of comedy that they don't actually believe in, but they've gone, hold on, there's a way to make money here.
Yeah, and it's a character act. I mean,
it's just as bad the other way as well. Like, I'm really aware that there's people that twist themselves inside out being, I really hate it. I don't want to say it. But there are people who twist themselves inside out with trying to be so perfect. And then they end up, like, someone will go, oh, sorry, did you just say that? And it's like, oh, and they kill them. Like, it's like literally destroys them because they've gone, oh, I've slipped up.
Just be funny. I don't have to agree with you to find you funny. I don't understand this.
But then the other issue you have is, like, you can be funny and you can have this. You can go to a comedy club and be funny. But if you want to get that regularity of work, or you want a booker or an agent to be booking you regularly, they have to have something to pin on you to sell you. And unfortunately, that level of comedy is completely and utterly run by agents. That's a massive part of it. So you book your own diary. I book my own diary. But if we were going to get someone to book our diaries, A, we'd have to be something that we're not. We'd have to have that USP. And B, you'd have to really stick to it and double down on it. And then, you know, that's where you get loads of work. Like, if you were a massive right wing,
you've got to become a character in a way, haven't you?
You've got to become an actor that is manipulated by an agent.
Mm.
You really do. Like, these guys who are with agents, like, I've spoken to big acts who have left their agencies, and the stories that they've told about,
yeah, like, oh, they made me wear this. They told me to lose weight.
Yeah,
if you lose 5 stone, we'll sign you.
Yeah, that one. So I said no, all right.
But I just think I can find someone who says a pro NHS joke funny as someone that says it should be privatised. And yeah, I think if it's funny, if the joke's funny, why shouldn't you? Why don't have to agree with someone to find them funny? Sometimes the funniest things are the awful thing. Like, there is a style of comedy where the wronger saying is, the funnier it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's been sort of like outlawed. I don't understand it.
But is it outlawed, or could you just go to a club and do it and it'd be fine? Probably
you not could. Outlawed. But if you've seen to do that or laugh at it, people will come. This is the thing. People, like, I couldn't go out on social media and openly slag off a more woke comedian because everyone would be like, oh, you're being a cunt. But if I did something like that, it's open season. You're allowed to vocally criticise and go, oh, look at this bloke doing this. It's like, well, that's just what I'm doing. I don't mean it. And I don't know what, again, this is a sort of like a hacky point, but I don't know why comedy singled out. Where Anthony Hoskins, who framed Hannibal Rabbit, said, no, but he was Hannibal Lecter. And like, he got an Oscar for pretending to eat people. People don't go, ugh. But like, if you tell a joke which is just as fictional, you're fucking canned for it. So how can you be creative and inventive and explore dark shit in film when it's but in comedy you can't?
But I don't even know if you can or can't. I think, like I said before, I think if you're not on social media, you can probably just carry on regardless and nothing matters.
Yeah, mate, nothing really matters anyway, does it? Nothing matters, mate.
If you're not on Twitter and you get your booking, like, if you weren't, you're not on Twitter now, so you would be getting booked just as much as you are.
Yeah, I know, but I just Twitter just I just fucking can't see the point of it.
Now, what I mean is, like, if you were just doing comedy, right? You're not on Twitter, you're not on social media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'd be getting booked X amount. Say the amount you were getting booked before lockdown, right?
Yeah.
Then you could say and do what you like, and you're never getting cancelled because, I mean, how do you cancel someone that isn't on social media? Like, there is no, oh, Justin Pank said this. Who? Well, Justin Pank's. Well, where can I attack him? Well, you can't unless you go to his house. Oh, well, then I won't bother with him.
Bring it on.
But that's it, isn't it? If they can't
they
actually...
just ring up clubs, and that's what they've done around Andrew Lawrence, isn't it? They rung up clubs.
Yeah, said, but oh, no, we... because you can attack Andrew Lawrence on that. You can attack him.
If yeah, that's right. If... But then again, I guess that's saying you can only say what the mob allow you to say on the platform. Otherwise, you can't be on the platform.
Yeah, but if he was on the platform.
But yeah,
he
was, but he wasn't playing. And the, I don't know. I don't know. It's just, I just find it all so, I'm just over it all. You know what I mean now? I'm just like, oh, I don't, I just think it's going to be a backlash. I think it's going to swing back. I think dark.
Well, it is.
Come back, yeah.
It is swinging back that way. But this is history. It's not just comedy. This is everything. It goes one way and it swings back the other way. Like, you just, I know we don't know anything about politics, but I saw a thing.
I know
today.
Loads about politics. How what are you talking about?
They saw it, said a thing today about the swing of support for the Labour Party.
Support of the Labour Party swing. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
But that now it's swung back as far.
Swung back as far.
Towards the. Blancmange.
Blancmange.
It's flown back to, as much to the Conservative Party as it's been in decades.
Decades, probably, is
and
the
then
report I read.
Back the other way.
The rubber band effect.
Exactly. Rubber band that is constantly twatting backwards and forwards.
Hey, what is the universe if not a constantly expanding and then shrinking wave?
Because, oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Like a black hole, when it... A star collapses on itself and the gravitational mass gets so big, even light can't escape. But it's such different down to an infinitesimally small pinprick, which then explodes. And I think all universes you've created, the universe was created at the center of it, collapsing something. And then it's going to keep expanding until it starts collapsing. And that's how it goes.
How do they know that?
How do I know that?
No, not you, they.
Oh, I don't know. That's one of mine.
Yeah, but that is the thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes, see? It's like the swing, but I'm saying everything swings one way and in it. Tide goes in, tide comes, goes out. Tide comes in, tide goes out.
Light goes on, light goes off.
Light goes on, light goes off. Wax on, wax off. You know, it's like that, isn't it?
We just had a bloke round to give us a quote for some decorating. And he phoned up my life partner to arrange a time to come over, and he was then on the phone for 13 minutes just talking to her about jobs he'd done, life.
Oh, you got to watch this man around your life partner.
Yeah. And then he turns up and he stood in our hallway for like 20 minutes talking about the jobs he'd been doing. He said, I'm retired now, I could spend money until I'm 99 and I'd die with money in the bank, but I do this because I love it. And then he just talked and talked and talked and talked. And in the end, I had to walk away because I had things to do, this, for example. And then he walks around the house and then he goes, right, I'll quote you for the walls. But, you know, you don't want me doing the door frames and the skirting boards. That's, you could do that while you're having a chat. I was like, no, can you please quote for that? Because I don't really want to do it. He's like, yeah, I'll quote. But no, you don't want me. That's going to be another day. You don't want. I was like, no, yeah, I don't want to do it. It goes, you could do it. Anyone could do it. She can do it. Oh, I don't know. It's like,
well, that's
you know.
Charming.
But would you please just quote to do the painting of the door frames and the skirting boards? Please, that's what I want done. Please. Thank you. And why is it that he obviously hates glossing or something?
Yeah, he doesn't want to do it. He's got loads of money, isn't he? He loves it, but I hate it. I do this because I love it, but I think I'm going to try and get out of doing it. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Paint the walls, but I don't really want to do glossing anymore.
Get a brush in your hand, you lazy prick.
Me or him?
You.
I don't want to do it.
I like that. Even she could do it.
That's what he said, not me.
I know. You should have gone, fuck him. No, mate, she couldn't.
She won't. She can't.
And then patted her on the head. That's what I'd have done. Has anyone seen that documentary, The Princess's People? Has anyone ever any? Did I dream it? Has anyone seen it?
What is it?
It's the fun. It was about Princess Diana's funeral because she was known as the People's Princess, and they did a documentary called "The Princess's People."
Yeah, I remember
and
you said on they the just day, some people in a pub.
They just spoke to some people that were in London, stood in the streets. They spoke to, and there was a pub in Portsmouth or somewhere. And this woman was just sitting there staring at the camera. And this bloke was going about Princess Diana. And then he noticed that his wife was staring at the camera. She hadn't said nothing. He goes, oh, her? Oh, she had a stroke. And he slapped her on the, like, he was like patting her on the cheek. She's all right, though. She gets a boat, don't you, love? Still gets up and gets my breakfast and a cup of tea and that.
It doesn't sound like it could be true. You may have dreamt it.
I'm sure. And then that was that extremely homophobic Irish bloke was on about Elton John. Was so funny. Candle in the wind. Candle in the wind. I was hoping he'd stick a candle up his arse and light it.
What about, I did a gig once in this theatre and a guy came up to me afterwards and said, I've been doing a lot of work for Elton John recently. I don't know if I've ever told you this.
You actually. Haven't told me this.
I have or haven't?
Haven't.
So he said to me, and I obviously don't know this bloke, just from the audience. You know when you are milling around after a show and people come up and talk to you, but not about the show. They just tell you stuff.
Yeah.
And he went, I've been doing a lot of work for Elton John. He's not in a good way. And he'd just been on Jonathan Ross, I think, like the week or so before. And it was made the news because he sort of shuffled out in slippers, right? He was of poor health.
Yeah.
And he went, I've been around his house. He's not got long to go. I was like, you what? He went, yeah, he's close to death. He's really, really terribly, terribly ill. He's on his way out. I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah. They're saying don't tell anyone because he's got like a new record coming out and they want to make money on it. But yeah, he's done. He's finished. And I was like, oh, God. And I kind of believed it. And then it just wasn't true.
And also, no big artist ever sold a record as soon as they die, did they?
No, but it was like, I think he said something like, there's this, either a tour that he was going to sell.
Yeah, don't tell anyone because his tour's selling out. And then...
Yeah, but I think that's what it was. I think it might have been that.
Yeah, well, he couldn't do it if he was fucking dead, could he?
No, but I think the money would be in. I don't know. But Michael Jackson did it, didn't he? Didn't he die before he started his tour? And then they just went, wow, yeah.
Didn't he die of like some sort of drug thing?
Drugs, yeah. Painkiller.
Wasn't that fentanyl or something, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Same thing as Prince.
Yeah, Prince, that was weird as well, because, again, there's another thing. So
Prince have AIDS?
Well, that was the rumour, but I don't think that was true.
Right.
Although, who knows? Someone told me, again, this person is like a minor celebrity. So I was doing gigs with a high-profile celebrity, and then at a gig, another sort of lower celebrity had come to watch the show. I was talking about Prince. It was about the time Prince died. And he went, yeah, it's going to come out. It was a massive heroin overdose. It didn't come out because it wasn't true.
No.
Why do people make up shit?
It's just for the attention, isn't it?
But can you imagine just sitting there thinking, I think I'm going to make up a lie about Prince?
Well, the other guy was weird, the Elton John one, because he'd obviously watched Jonathan Ross, seen
it,
and said, I'm
working. He'd been doing some work in his house.
I don't think so.
These people as well tend not to have people working their house who go off and blab because you don't get more than one job, do you?
No, exactly. I mean, you know, and I just think, what's he having done? You know, you're not going to ring up out of pages, is he?
He's
like a specialist guilt in gold, I don't know. He's not going to get some bloke around and knock up an MDF unit. Fuck, he lives in a... Do you know what I mean?
Right, well, it's funny you say that. My mate has been working in a Premier League footballer's house for the last few days, putting together flat pack furniture because he's just moved clubs and has bought a new house. But so he basically got told, right, we're going to be going up there for 4 days, basically kitting out this house with flat pack furniture. And when he gets there, it's not around these parts, it's a bit further up. And when he gets to the house, this flat pack furniture is like hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of Italian furniture that isn't necessarily, like, not flat pack as you imagine, but yeah, is like,
it's like you need a cabinet maker to put it together.
Exactly that. So he's been
it's like a load of mahogany and ivory.
It's exactly
and a tenon saw.
It's exactly that. So they basically hired my mate because they've hired him as a cabinet maker to work woodwork. And he's like, I thought I'm putting together IKEA furniture. And he's putting together like incredible bits of solid wood furniture. Just like with no instructions at all, obviously. But yeah, I think it's going all right.
That's funny. But that's what I'm saying. So that's the sort of thing. I mean, Elton John would be that times 100, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And do you think Elton John's there if he's having work done on his house? I just don't believe he would be. Like, when I get my horse stairs and landing done, yeah, I'll be coming home every night. I don't think Elton John's in the house while the decorators are in.
No, exactly. He'd be like, I'm going to be in New York for 2 months. I'm going to get my London fucking apartment.
What about... The thing I heard, which was like the most decadent thing, the person telling me, I remember this being like the most decadent thing you can have. Elton John said whenever he bought, or I was told Elton John said, whenever he bought a CD, he bought 4 copies, one for each one of his homes. It's like, what a shit thing.
That sort of sounds dated now, isn't it?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what, he spends £40 on an album each time.
Instead of 10.
Yeah.
What about
he's not paying for music, is he? Elton John's not buying CDs.
No. Yeah, that's something made up. And I remember when I used to play rugby for Newmarket, and obviously there's a lot of money. It's a big racing town, and a lot of the sheikhs have a house there for when races are on. And people would say, "Oh, my mate worked round there," and they'd say things like that. You know, the Sultan of Brunei or whatever.
Yeah.
In his socks and pants drawer, all new. He just wears his socks once and throws them out.
Well,
that's not that impressive.
That's not that impressive. But the billionaire that I gigged for, when you turned up at his house, he had a butler, and you were given socks at the door.
Yeah, so honey.
You took off your socks and shoes, and you put on fresh packaged socks, and then you walked around his house in the socks he'd given you. That was weird. Like, that's what a weird thing. You're basically going, I don't trust your feet. It's a bit
I went
round
a bloke's house once, and I was stood there, and he looked at me.
Yes,
and
please. I love this story.
He went, 10? I went, what's that? He goes, size 10? I went, yeah, do you know that? He goes, like, as if, like, gave me that I'm good at this. Opened a cupboard and handed me a pair of 10 slippers, like he worked in a fucking bowling alley.
I love that story so much.
Like, what do you want me to do? Like, you got a little pair of tartan slippers. Like, I don't know who's had them on.
Did you just keep them?
No, he had like a... No, he weren't a billionaire. He was just a fucking weirdo. He had like two of each size.
I love
like six up to 12, something like that.
I absolutely love that.
That's mental though, isn't it?
It really is.
But he didn't say like, oh, would you mind? He went 10. I went, oh, that's just a number. What do you mean? He goes, are you size 10? I went, yeah, I am. And then just handed them to me. He's like, would you mind putting these on? It was like, if you're coming in my house, you're going to put them on.
Can you imagine? I mean, imagine if I offered you slippers at the door.
So I went to the toilet and I pissed in his sink. He's obviously a germaphobe. I did.
I've got to send you a gift, actually. I meant to do that. I've
bought
you a
gift. Oh, you did ask me my address about 3 months ago, so yeah, you had something to send me.
I still haven't sent it. I bought you something. It's not slippers, by the way.
No, good. I'm size 10, if anyone wants to buy me slippers. What have you been up to then, mate? I'm very tired. Oh, I've yawned and I've been extremely exhausted. I'm stressed out. I still haven't got a yes or a no on my mortgage application, which I think it turns out the mortgage broker said we'd find out on Friday. It's now Monday. And he didn't actually do it.
What?
Well, he's gone on holiday and someone else there has said, oh, no, it hasn't been in because you haven't paid the application fee. It was like, well, we told it was... So I'm still no close.
So he's like, I'll be done Friday. And then they went, oh, there's an issue. But they didn't tell you. That does my head in.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like he's going on holiday, and then
what is it with him? I don't get it. I remember once where they were like, "Okay, you're right. Yeah, you need to come. We'll send out these forms, fill in the forms, post them back. When we get them, we'll process this." I went, "Could you email them to me?" And the woman went, "Oh yeah, I can email them to you." I went,
"Yeah, I know. I think they tried to drag it out for some
reason. Why isn't that the thing? Just email them to me, and I'll email them back. You'll have them in an hour."
Yeah, and then also, they just don't say, "Oh, we'll ring you," and they don't. Then you ring them, and they're like, "Oh, they were going to say, oh, he's on holiday. We can't get into it, access his files." I was like, "What? You're telling me because this particular geezer's gone away, nobody can fucking do this?"
That's a disgrace. Bollocks.
And they were just stalling because he hadn't done it. He's got the hump. He's got the hump with us. I know he has.
It's not his problem to have the hump with you, is it? He's got a...
Well, we were applying for so much, and then it was like, "Oh, let's just pay a bigger deposit." And he was like, he obviously gets a percentage of the mortgage.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, so because we wanted to get a slightly less mortgage and pay more deposit, he's like, "Well, if you want to do that, we'll do that. I'm happy to do that if that's the way you want to go." And that's ever since then, the service just went up a cliff.
But I am going on holiday, and I will not have done any of that. Like, if you work in an office and you have to go on holiday, you have to get your work done before you go away, don't you?
Yeah, you bloody should. If you bloody don't, you're bloody rubbish.
Yeah.
Hi, we had a question off a listener.
We did have a question off a listener. Shall we listen to it now?
Yeah, let's listen to it now.
Hello. This question might be too boring, but I'd love to know Jussie Penis's opinion on skateboarding being in the Olympics. What's he think? Thank you. Goodbye.
There's Samuel.
Did he refer to me as Jussie Penis?
I can't tell if he said Jussie Penis or Jussie Penis.
He said Jussie Penis.
Did he say Jussie Peanuts?
I think the man said Jussie Penis.
You better speak to him soon. He's going to be...
I think we can hash it out on a podcast.
Yeah, well, he has paid to
it's
be...
Peanuts. Yeah.
We are obligated to have him on now. So.
Yeah, we are. But you can't be calling me that. That's referring to me as a man's phallus. He's insinuating I'm a dong.
You are, in a way.
I don't want to be a dong.
You're sort of my podcast Coom. Dong.
I'm Jussie Peanuts. Yeah, I am. I'm the dong to your...
ball bag.
Ding? Yeah.
The ding. The dong to your ding.
We're a ding dong. We're a right old ding dong. Hey, did you used to call condoms dingers when you were younger?
No, I never did.
Donkeys and dingers?
No, just Johnny's.
Johnny's donkeys and dingers.
See, here's the thing, right? I remember a conversation my brother was having with some mates, and they were talking about Johnny's. And
mates,
I didn't know
Johnny's?
I didn't know what Johnny's were, right? And I remember them saying, "Oh, it's disgusting. If you go down the park, there's just like they use Johnny's just on the floor around the playground and stuff." And I remember thinking, what are they talking about? I don't know what that is. So the next day I cycled down to the park and there was just Johnny's just on the playground. I don't think they were used. I think some kid had obviously nicked them out of a pub machine.
Pub fruit machine.
Yeah, ding, 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 you've won some Johnny's.
Hold, H, oh, nudge, IV, that's the thing about things like that is they used to put pornos and Johnnies and stuff around schools. Nonsense did, didn't they?
Do you think they were planted?
Yeah, 100%. Like, that is such a hacky thing about, oh, we used to find porn in the bush, but there was always porn in the bush, in the woods, and it was there on purpose to sort of like, I think it was to sort
of
like
think,
a...
I always assumed a kid had nicked it.
No, Ash, I don't think so. I think the
paedophile left it there as a trap.
Yeah, to get you. Maybe he's in another bush watching on. Maybe that was a worm on his hook.
24/7?
Oh, no, not 24. I don't know.
This is mad. I was talking to my son about this the other day. People's, like, the safest place you could be would be walking through the woods at midnight. Why do people go, "Oh, it's scary, go through the woods. You don't know who's going to leap out of
you." You think the safest place you could be is walking through the woods at midnight and tucked up in bed? I reckon.
You know what I mean, though? They what?
I don't know. Oh, really? Why don't you go walking through the woods then? It's 11:45. You'd be much safer there than in your room with your fucking deadbolted door and burglar alarm.
You're better off.
What are you on about? I remember once when I lived in London, I walked through Finsbury Park at midnight. Christ, I hardly made out alive.
Really?
I must have a red flashing target on my arsehole.
Why? What was that?
I could hear geezers in every fucking bush I walked past.
Oh, what are they doing?
Jerking off.
But is that a thing?
Yeah, they're men.
But why are they going to the... I don't understand this. If you want to be wanked off by a man, why do you have to go to Finsbury Park?
Hang on. Where would you go?
Like, just round some bloke's house, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's all organised. That's not cottaging, is it? That's the thrill of it. It's like dogging.
I don't think that'd be happening in Finsbury Park nowadays. Very, very, very posh now, isn't it?
Well, I was there in 2000, 2001, and I can assure you, I got wanked off left, right and centre.
But so what? Is that the thrill of it? Am I missing the point?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But there was a lot of people. I'll tell you what, I walked through there. It might have been one in the morning. I climbed over the fence. I was off my head.
You were desperate to get in there.
No, I was walking. I had to go. I didn't. Couldn't be bothered to walk round it. I was coming from, I think, Haringey, is it? And I just couldn't be bothered to walk round it. So I had to walk through it. Because I lived in a road called Alexandra Grove or something. It was right near there.
Oh, that's where I park when I go and watch Arsenal.
Oh, is it? Yeah. There used to be a pub on the corner. There's flat.
Yeah,
now.
There is.
Alexandra or the...
What?
Yeah, I used to live up there, mate. I used to live down that road.
What are you talking about?
You've Alexandra never been... Grove in...
When
I have.
I always park there and I phone you up and I go, I'm just parking at Arsenal at Alexandra Grove and you've never
been... No, you don't. It's got a gate on one end, so only fire engines can open it.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know it. I used to live up there.
You've proved yourself.
Yeah, yeah, and I used to... Well, I'd go up there, turn left down. There's this down there, there's a garage. Go a bit further on, there's a big bagel on the corner up near the KFC. There's 12 pins on the right. Yeah, am I right?
Don't know.
Oh, well, anyway, I used to live there, and I had to get back to there, so it was like halfway along the park, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I walked... I thought, I'm going to fucking go through it. And there was more people in there. There was loads of people in there. I'm going to say 80 people in there.
In the park, wanking each other off?
Well, I could hear people in the park, and I'd walk past the bush, and they'd go, like that, and you just keep walking.
What does that mean? Oh, is that them getting ready?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, oi, if you want to come in this bush, I'm in this bush if you want to come in here.
I don't understand it. Like, are they not selecting who they want to bum?
Well, yeah, me. That was a fine piece of arse walking through there.
They can't see you, can they?
You can see enough. You could see my charisma in the dark, mate.
And was your penis and balls out?
Cock and bollocks was out. Just my nuts, actually. And I'd done my zip up, so they were really taut.
Ouch.
They're like a couple of JML dryer balls, all pimply and nodule-y.
We've got some of them. I've got some of them because you told me to.
They're good, aren't they?
We've really got to get back to Samuel's question. We did this last week.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know about skateboarding in the Olympics because, well, I don't like it.
That's that then. Thanks, Samuel. Thanks
well,
for your
no,
question.
No, no, no. I'm going to say, I think skateboarding for me, and this is obviously I was into it, it's more of a counterculture thing, not a sport. I think it was for people who weren't into sport. It was a refuge from sport, but still active, if that makes sense. And I don't want it to be receive sporting status because then it's not what I thought it was. Okay.
Yeah, and my opinion is I couldn't give a fuck.
I haven't watched any of the Olympics.
No, nor have I. Not.
I saw the first. They said, "Oh, the first medal was gone to China in their women's air rifle," and you're like, oh, "Fuck me!" What if you win a goldfish? It's like something at the fucking fair, isn't it? When you've got to get rid of that star on the little beer mat.
Well, yeah, it's gold medal or a goldfish.
Exactly. You've got a first goldfish for throwing the hoop over a bottle of vodka with a £10 note fucking rubber banded to it.
I went to a fair where there was air rifling, right? And I hit, because they're crooked, aren't they? Obviously. But I had 100% accuracy with my air rifling, just total fluke, and so won the Teddy or something. And then I gave my son a go, and he'd never shot a gun before, even though we're from Westcliff. But the guy knocked the target. He stood next to where my son was firing the air rifle and knocked the targets over as if he was doing him a favour. But my son's just looking at me like, why is he doing that? You know what I mean? The guy was like probably trying to be kind. Like, oh yeah, look, I'll knock some of them over. But my son's just like, well, he's just ruining it for me.
So well, you knocked him over and then gave him a prize or not?
No, like, he'd missed. Like, I think you had to hit five in a row to win a prize or something.
Right. And so he missed the first one and then he started knocking them over.
Yeah, to go.
Oh, shot look, him in the hand.
And he's about, my son was about 11 at this point, so he wasn't a baby. He's like, oh, I can see what you're doing.
I remember once there's a bow and arrow on the travelling one that came to Brandon and I did it and it went right into the bullseye, but it was just touching the inner line of the bullseye. First one I did, fluke. I went, oh my God. He went, no, no, that's not it. And I went, what? He goes, no, that don't count. I went, you know, there's a line around a bullseye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just touching the inside of it. He goes, no, it's in the line. I thought, well, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm about eight, but...
And I think you'll take me with you.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue. I'm eight and you've got a tail of a scorpion on your neck. But needless to say. Yeah, it was just like, it was only like for a fucking...
Every story you tell is, it really does show what shapes you.
Does it?
Yeah, it really does.
Well, my superior archery skills not being appreciated. My rewarded.
Again, the boy, we took him to like one of these things. Oh my God, it sounds like the most boring thing in the world. But when you're a parent, you go to these things. It's like, is this going to be 2 hours of me having to do slightly less parenting? And it was like a medieval fair or something, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And the boy fired an arrow. So it was, they had archery in a barn and he fired an arrow up into the, well, it was meant to be firing at a target, but it just went straight up in the air through the rafters and then still hit the board on the other side. It was like the most incredible trick shot you could ever do. But it was complete.
I was going to say hit an owl or something. It's like a fucking tawny owl comes down with an arrow through its head.
But that's one of the, I wish I had that on video because it was just phenomenal fluke. One of those things that's just like, I think we've spoken about that before. I once dropped a pen and volleyed it and it landed on the skirting board perfectly.
Yeah, I love stuff like that.
There was a video that was on Twitter this week where a dad is holding some food and drinks for his family in the garden. And as he walks, there's a kid on a trampoline and they throw a ball towards him. And as it's bouncing towards him, he's got his hands full. He volleys it and it goes through the basketball hoop perfectly. And he's caught it on his sort of rear camera on the back of his house. And he's obviously like, oh my God. But the family all just go in. Like, no one else has seen it. And they all just ignore him. But he's just standing there like, cannot believe what's happened. And no one has reacted. And that's life, isn't it?
I think that's like, I'm such a dick. If I'm filling up my car with fuel and I stop it really quickly on 00, I look around. Like, does anyone see that? I still think that someone's going to go, we're from the Olympics petrol filling team and we think you can represent Great Britain.
Yeah, well, you and your receipt catching, that's the big one, isn't it?
Catching a receipt. I mean, that was cat-like reflexes, mate.
I always remember my friend Greg sort of walking along, clicking his heels together as he walked, and the stone, I saw it and he saw it, but it pinged up over his head from behind, like just a pure fluke, over his head, and in his stride, he volleyed it. Like there was no thought process at all.
Yeah, yeah, zen, flow state.
And he looked at me like, for that second of, oh my God, please tell me you saw it, and I did see it.
But did you pretend you didn't?
No, I didn't.
I did what?
I was open mouthed, just like, what an incredible thing.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. Once in a lifetime.
Yeah. But then they must just happen all the time, mustn't they? It's that thing of...
To each person once.
Yeah, maybe.
If someone said, yeah, you could have a wish, I'd say like, I want all those amazing things that everyone's done once in their life. Like, no, like you volleying that pen onto the skirting board. I want all of them to happen to me. So all the time, I'm just doing these amazing things.
I once was holding my belt, pulled my belt off. So the buckle was down and I jolted it up in the air. And as it came back down, it knotted itself.
If you're trying to fuck a string, it'll always tie itself in a knot.
Yeah.
That's quite hard.
Amazing. Look, here
is a string line. And
yeah. Oh, yes.
Self knot. A string line, you'd be swinging it.
in the bag. How has this happened?
Yeah, you pull it out and it's on fucking 15 reef knots in a row.
Yeah, headphones is the one for me. I know that, again, this is tired old ground, isn't it? But I take off my headphones, I wrap them around my finger, I put them like that in something. When I come back to them, it's like I might as well have been sitting there tying them in knots for 2 hours.
Yeah. Do you get headphones that fit?
Oh, no, earphones, sorry.
Yeah, earphones. I'm saying, is the string long enough to go from one ear to the other?
Oh, yeah. Just about. I have to stitch two together.
So this is fucking Golden Gate Bridge with ear pods on the end of it.
I've lost a pair, actually. My trusty pair.
In your ears?
Yeah, they could have just fallen in.
Hey, when I'd come to see you before, you hadn't opened them yet. You'd got some soft sleep ones. Were they any good?
Yeah, they're great, yeah.
Yeah, that and your weighted blanket.
Yeah, that's now under my bed, actually, because of the night terrors it gave me.
Did it give you night terrors?
Yeah, constant night terrors, yeah.
I think it's meant to do the opposite. It's meant to be reassuring.
It doesn't. It has not reassured me. It just made me dream I was drowning almost constantly.
You should have persevered. How many times did you use it?
Like for a week.
Okay, and you had the terrors every night?
Yeah, I think it's meant to be incredibly relaxing when you get beyond the night terrors. But I don't think I was in the frame of mind at the time to push on, you know?
Yeah.
I will.
So let's revisit the old you couldn't let anything from school touch.
Well, why are we doing this at the end of this week's podcast as well?
I just, you know...
Was that on the week's podcast or was that on the bonus podcast?
Oh, that might have been a Patreon one, actually.
Yeah, it might have been.
Well, Ash dropped the bombshell. Let's just tell everyone the story. The condition. The abnormality in your mind.
If you want to tell the story, you go ahead and tell your story. Go on.
Ash hated school. Stop me if I get this wrong. You hated school so much that you couldn't let anything from school touch anything from your real life.
Yeah.
So, like, your school bag couldn't touch your clothes that you wear at the weekend. So you had to keep everything like isolated and quarantined.
That's exactly right. That's a really good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah. So Ash is mental. Listener, that's what we're saying here, and you still do it with some things, don't you?
I mean, much less so now, but yeah, it would cross my mind, definitely. Not too bad, but it would cross my mind potentially, yeah.
So, like, if you went and did a horrible gig and it was really bad, and you got back and you your gig clothes. Would you want to take them off quickly?
No, because I revel in that. It's difficult to explain now. I can't think of a specific example now.
But that was what it was with school, wasn't it? You'd go to school, you'd come home, you couldn't wait to get your uniform off, and you'd have to keep all your school stuff in one drawer.
Uniform off, put away, in the shower, wash, get changed.
And your school bag, you couldn't say, oh, I'll empty out my school bag and put my sandwiches in that to go watch Arsenal.
No, 100%. Are you mental? Absolutely no chance of that. I couldn't even touch it.
Did you have school underwear?
Yeah, no, it would have been full school clothes. Yeah, it would have been clothes for school, clothes.
So if you had a pair of pants to school, could you never wear them at the weekend?
Yeah.
You couldn't?
No chance.
I wonder if this has got a name.
I wouldn't have touched that bag over the weekend. So if I had to do... Here's the thing, because you have to do homework, right? So I would have only ever done my homework on a Sunday night, like late, because, yeah, it was awful.
You used to put your school uniform on to do it?
No. So I would have very much prepared. So my Amiga, which sat on my desk, would have been pushed right back. Would have been pushed right back. And then that area... There would have been a big enough area for me to have the two school books.
Without your school book touching the Amiga?
Without it touching the Amiga. I'd have then sat, done the homework. I would have been very conscious of it. The bag probably would have been open. I'd have finished the schoolwork, folded it up, put it away, probably washed my hands, maybe. And in terms of wiping down the side, I don't think I'd have wiped down the side. But I would have definitely washed my hands before I could then pull the Amiga out.
Wow. Yeah. What was your favourite Amiga game?
Sensible Soccer.
Sensible Soccer. Did you ever play Panzer Kickboxing?
I mean,
Was that the one that was like, looked like it was video?
Yeah, a little graphics. Bit. It was quite good. But in the time it did. No,
yeah,
it
I think so. I think I did. I think it had like almost video style graphics, but not quite.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really weird. That thing not touching things is weird.
All right, mate. Yeah.
And you still like it now?
To a certain extent, it
never
got better.
You've never.
Let me tell you, if Jesus Christ, imagine if my Arsenal top had touched something school related. That would
be really okay. Good. So, someone doesn't realise, and you go in your bed, and all your washing's been done. And your mum's having a bad day, and all your Arsenal and school stuff's all just in together. What happens?
If it had been washed, it would have been fine.
Okay, so it hasn't been washed. And it's like, I'm going to Arsenal. It's like, oh, your Arsenal top's in here with your school stuff in the dirty laundry.
Yeah, no.
You'd go, I can't wear it.
Yeah, I would have.
Because what was you, what, let's talk why. What is it that you're worried about?
I hated every, it's weird because I had friends, but I just didn't want anything associated with those people.
Yeah, but your school uniform touching your Arsenal strip. I'm not asking you to go watch Arsenal in your school uniform.
It's totally irrational, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. It's interesting, though. I didn't know you were that mental. It's funny.
Yeah, but then I also have the thing. It goes along with the unwanted thoughts. You know, we've spoken about that loads of times before, about the constantly thinking of the horrific things. It's basically that, you know, I constantly thought I was definitely going to die. My parents were definitely going to die. I thought that my actions would kill them.
And they are.
No, I mean, horribly, imminently. So, you know, like if this bit of rubbish doesn't go in the bin when I throw it.
That's what they reckon of OCD is, isn't it? If I don't lock the door three times and tap it, saying, oh, what's going to happen?
It's of me thinking that I could control something that was happening with the world.
Uncontrollable, yeah.
So yeah, that was a big thing, and I still get it now to a certain extent where something will pop into my mind. Well, you know, we've discussed it loads of times, but I think, oh, don't think about that, and then it comes.
Yeah,
that's the
thing. And when I notice myself going down a dark place, I just observe it and go, "Oh, I'm doing that thing again."
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Rather than trying to stop it, I just watch myself and go, "Oh, acknowledge it," and it stops.
Yeah, I'm not able to do that yet. I have heard about that, but I can't do that.
Just observe it. It's like riding a bull ash.
The only time it's ever been discussed is with you here. It's really bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. So I won't tell no one.
Oh, good. Okay. No one's listening. So.
Nope. We're going to die soon anyway, aren't we, mate?
Why do we keep ending the episodes like this?
It's fine. It's what they want, clearly.
I don't know what they want. What do you want, listener? Get in touch.
I know what I want. We're going to be doing a gig, thanks to one of our listeners.
Yes.
As approached a venue.
So that's what we were discussing last week. So if you know of a venue that is looking to put on comedy.
And it's not going to be the Ash and Jussie show. It will be like a full bill of proper comedy that anyone can come to. But you get to see us. And all you got to do is scout us a venue. And I will do the rest.
Yeah. And that is happening. That's already, the ball is already rolling on one venue.
So anyone in the Midlands that wants to come and see us on the same bill, hit us. I can't say hit us up, can I?
No, I didn't like it when you were about to.
I know. I'm very, very tired.
Hit the venues up.
Stick one into us.
But, I'm thinking about this. Well, no, this isn't necessarily a conversation for now, but maybe off air. But, so would we do, definitely there'd be other acts on the bill.
Yeah, we'll get an MC.
A local.
And then one of us will open, one of us will close, we'll have a middle act.
Yeah. And would we then do a podcast? Because we don't know how many podcast fans would come.
That's what we need to know. It's going to be in Birmingham.
If there's a big enough audience, then we'll do a live podcast. If there isn't, we'll just do it in the car park afterwards.
We could do it in the car park afterwards anyway with them, couldn't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's know. If you can get to Birmingham for a gig, let's give us a rough idea of numbers.
Yeah, please do that. The gig's going
to
happen.
Go to a venue near you and see if they want to put in a comedy night. Send us their details and we will do it. And you can come and see us on your doorstep. You haven't got to travel. And we'll travel to you as long as someone's paying us.
A decent enough place, please. Jesus Christ.
Anywhere, we'll do anything.
Not an L-shaped room.
Oh, Christ.
You know those ones where you're gigging and you just occasionally get someone peek around a corner?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there are people around there, aren't they?
Yeah, L-shaped rooms, mate. Oh. Edinburgh's on, isn't it? Speaking of shit venues.
Yeah, I've not heard. I don't want to hear anything about Edinburgh.
No, me neither. Me neither.
Right.
I'm going to go to sleep, mate. I'm going to go get sleep. I'm fucked. I went to the gym today after a full day's work. I don't know why.
Stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, in fact.
Listener, thank you very, very much. If you want to... Well, we've got a new patron. We've got a new patron. That's the most important thing I need to be talking about.
Go on, who's that?
What are you doing? Are you excited?
Yeah, I was.
Tom Bresky.
Yeah?
He's a new patron. Thank you, Tom. Massively appreciated. That means Tom is going to get an extra podcast every single fucking month.
See, now, the people that are patrons would have heard how this Ash's weird mental phobia thing unfolded in real time. It was news to me. Exactly. It was news to Ash. He said he'd never said it before out loud. You missed that cultural watershed.
But if you go back, if you sign up for the Patreon, it's $1 a month. It's not even a pound. For God's sake.
It's literally nothing.
It's literally the kind of money you forget that you've left in a shoe.
The sort of money that you used to spend on a newspaper.
Yeah, exactly that. But if you do, you'll get podcasts, a monthly podcast, going back to...
1982.
I'm looking now. It looks like August 2018. Admittedly, we missed a couple of chunks where you nearly died of various things. Cool. You've got pictures from Yanis of me being bummed by you. I'm looking at that right now. I love the little smirk on your face on that one.
Oh, just tug your nipple hard in that situation.
And also, you'll get access to the Discord, which is curated by Yanis himself, and he puts pictures on there. There's loads of stuff.
I'm on there talking. Sometimes I go in there and talk to people.
Yeah, you do.
Under the guise of my nemesis, Charlotte Ramsey.
Yeah.
That is me, by the way, everyone.
What?
She isn't real.
Are you kidding me?
No. Anyway, I was saying how you're mental about this school, but I'm more mental in that I actually hate someone that I created to hate. I hate her so much, and she's so real in my mind.
I just want to mention this from the Discord. Tofu says, does GG Jiggle Physics still listen? Jiggle Physics was a patron and a listener. Not seen or heard for a long time. So
that's a no then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone's left the fold.
Yeah, let's move on to
bigger and better things.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're still here doing this shit.
Cheers, listener. Speak to you later, Jesse P.
Bye.